This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What up? I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman.
Yes, sir.
I think the key word for tonight is getting closer.
It's almost
getting
over.
Getting closer,
it's
man.
It's almost the downstroke.
Two words. Sorry, JP. Two words. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-6351. Want to hear from you guys tonight because this is the time you get to chime in, the first chance you get to chime in on how you thought the Jaguars played. Anything you guys want to talk about, we're up for it. You know, it's late. It's another Saturday late night game.
Saturday night.
We are ready to talk to you. And like I said, I think the key word tonight is getting closer. The Jags look good for almost two words. Two words. Jaguars are getting closer.
And you got to say something about the fans getting closer, too. You know, this, not only is it preseason for the players, it's preseason for those tailgaters, too, to make sure your grill's working right, make sure you got the right combination for your fruit, specially spiked fruit punch. I mean, I saw them out there, you know, these tailgaters.
I was out there with them today, man.
They're getting it ready, man. They're getting it ready.
I swear I was hanging out with Riley Cooper's family tonight. Like, literally.
Oh, baby.
I don't know if they didn't want to say anything because we talked about in the pregame show a little bit, if you heard my segment, you know, with the whole – incident that he had earlier in the year,
wasn't
they might
good.
Not have
wasn't good
come
at all.
Out and wanted to say that they're Riley Cooper's family. But literally, there were 12 people all in Riley Cooper jerseys, homemade Riley Cooper outfits. I've never seen
Eagles fans.
And, I mean, and he's not a huge player for the Eagles. It's one thing if you see a Michael Vick or if you, you know you see a –
Where's Riley Cooper from? This guy
from
dude.
Florida.
He's from Florida?
Yeah, he's a Florida guy.
Okay.
So, and that's what I said to him. Like, I know he's a Florida guy, but are you guys his family? And they're like, no, we're not his family at all. I don't know if they were just embarrassed because of what happened earlier or what. But I've never seen that. And, you know, we get that a lot down here where there's opposing fans come in and they show up in – good support for their teams. And listen, you can't complain because they're selling tickets down here. But at the same time, you want to see mostly Jags fans down here cheering
on the
team, especially the way they played tonight. They played really good tonight for at least three quarters. And you kind of figured it. You got Nick Foles in there who, if you heard the pregame show, we had the play-by-play man Merrill Reese on there saying both the quarterbacks for the Eagles, Nick Foles and Michael Vick, are starting caliber guys. And when Nick Foles is coming in and tearing up a third or fourth team, You kind of expect that.
True,
but
true.
But the way they played early on, they could have easily beaten this team tonight.
No, I really do believe so because the defense showed up tonight. You know, you figure last week it was a big issue. You know, they made it – I thought it was an excuse as it pertains to not enough third and long situations. But you see here, these guys were getting pressure on first down, first play of the game. You're getting a lot of penetration right up the middle, forcing Michael Vick out of the pocket, making him do things, getting him up really uncomfortable. At this point in time, I think Michael Vick is a little bit scared to get out there and really run because he's, you know, afraid of getting hurt again. You know, he's so
tender.
Yeah,
but he said before the game that he was all about running this year. Now he's back into running.
Man, he does not want to run the ball because obviously he doesn't know how to slide yet either. He's got some issues with sliding. But back to the Jags defense. They did a really good job, consistent pressure. For the most part, you know, all night long, and it came with the four guys. It did bring some people, but at the same time, when they just went with four guys, they did a pretty decent job today.
Not going to lie, I was very surprised tonight. In 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351 with your comments tonight. I didn't think the Jaguars stood much of a chance tonight. And not to say that they were overmatched, but the fact that you named Blaine Gabbert your starter, Henny really doesn't have anything to play for because I don't think he's getting cut. He's going to be a second-string guy. He knows he's here. He really doesn't have anything to play for. He's not playing for a job with another team. He's going to be sticking around. So he didn't have much to play for, but he came out and actually played really well.
Yeah, but you figure as a backup, he still has to get himself prepared because you just don't know. Blaine may not be ready for that first game of the season. So here it is, Henny. You got to be ready to step in and be the guy to lead this team. So I think he recognized that here in the sixth season. He's a veteran now. He understands his role even. I think it was good to announce who's going to be the starter. They're pretty. I believe it put Mr. Henny at ease to recognize, okay, now I know where I fit in. Let me do the things necessary to get myself prepared in my role to help the football team. And I think he did that. He made the right steps forward. But we see that is a different type of offense when he's in the game. It's more of a drop back. Really still, it's still a good tempo, but the pace is a little bit different. You know, you don't have as much. He actually puts more pressure on the offensive line because of his inability to. He's not as mobile as Blaine, and you don't have the type of rollout, moving the line in the pocket, being a little bit more unpredictable for the defense. So you're going to see a little difference if he's in there on week one as opposed to Blaine Gabbert. That's for sure offensively.
Yeah, I think it was really smart of Coach Gus Bradley to name what's his name?
Gabbert.
Gabbert, the starter. Because, I mean, if you look at it, Henny went 11 for 18, two touchdowns. If he didn't name him the starter going in, now you have a quarterback controversy in your hand. Where before, you just had a quarterback battle. Now you don't have the controversy that goes along with it, because you could easily say, look at how good Henny did. I mean, compared to last week when he was just awful.
I really think it was tough to follow that act. You know, Gabbert came out, lit it up. It was really I think he felt
the
pressure.
Yeah, but even if he came close, he didn't even come close. I mean, Gabbert was out of this world last week.
He saw the
Henny
on the
this
wall.
Week was good. But you don't have that second guessing in your mind. Be like, well, you know what? He went 11 for 18. He threw two touchdown passes. Only had one interception and 91.4 rating. You could easily sit there and say, well, who should be the quarterback? You know who's the quarterback going forward. So you don't have any of that stuff going on. But now you got Gabbert. As long as he's ready to go, he's the guy to go. So you don't have any worries. You don't have any quarterback controversies anymore. And whatever you guys want to talk about tonight, you want to talk about the quarterbacks, we can go for it, man.
Yeah, and you got to feel good, though, the way Henny is playing, because now, in the event, you know, there's a really high likelihood of Gabbert having to miss some time, you got a backup quarterback that can come in and keep the team rolling.
Yeah.
And that's significant in this league right now.
I mean, a lot of times they say when you have two, that means you don't have one, but I think that's a different
circumstance. In this league, you got to have two right now, the way the league is right now.
Let's go to the phones and the Metro PCS call in line, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's start with John on the south side. John, how you doing tonight? You have a good night tonight?
No, I had a lousy night. Because I keep listening to you guys being politically correct about the Jaguars. They play a half a game, and you always praise them. Oh, my God, they did so great, and they lost again. But you never tell them they ain't doing nothing right. They're not winning, and they need to step up to the plate and earn their money.
John, here's what I got to say to you. How many wins did they have in the preseason last year? You don't even know.
Same as they got this year.
They had three. They had three wins in the preseason last year. That did not transition at all in the regular season. So that's why we don't care if they win or lose.
Why did they finish in the cellar?
You tell us.
Because they don't play. You guys want to praise them. I know you're being paid by the Jaguars to praise them. And, my God, if we say anything bad about them, they're going to leave town. Oh, my God, we can't do that.
No, listen, John, I'll be the first one to tell you.
Why don't you tell the truth?
I'll be the first one to tell you. If they're bad, I'm going to come out and say it. If they're going to be bad, I'm going to come out and say it. But I got to say, at the preseason, you can't just sit there and judge on wins and losses. You got to judge if they're getting better every week. And you know what? They've been getting blown out the first two games. This is the first game that was competitive, and they were in it. So of course you got to praise them.
They said the same thing last week.
It's the preseason, John.
How great they did! They made these big plays, and it's always in the first half of the game. They quit the second half of the game.
They didn't quit the second half, though. That's the thing. You have basically a first string quarterback playing against the Jaguars' second, maybe even third team out there.
You don't have a quarterback with the Jaguars. The only thing you've got is a quarterback in name. They haven't had a quarterback since Brunell.
We're going to see this season.
We'll see
this season. We'll see once the season gets started. You figure the preseason,
yeah,
that's all the guys do is the players that are going to be. As a matter of fact, they haven't had all the starters out there at the same time at any point in time here during the preseason. So you have to look at when we talk about the team, you're right. We talk about a quarter or a quarter and a half. And if you've been listening to us, you would have heard us both say that they played a good quarter. We didn't say they played a good game. You know, we're talking about you're talking about the second half. You're talking about a bunch of guys that won't even be on the team. They won't even be on the team. I'm saying how wonderful they are because they did some things there and a good job. They got interceptions. They had guys that showed up that were backup quarterbacks.
The bad things they're doing. So that, see what's happening. you guys keep telling them how wonderful they're doing, and they
what
say,
did they do bad then, John? What did they do bad? What did they do bad, John? You tell us what they did bad. John, you tell us what they did bad, John. You have the microphone right now.
They quit in the second half.
John,
they
this is
who plays in the second half.
This is a preseason game, John.
I gotta let John go for a second because he just keeps talking. John. Here's the deal: when you're in the preseason, you got to look at first team versus first team, and the Jaguars' first team versus the Eagles' first team looked pretty damn good.
Did pretty good.
The
man.
Eagles' second team, which is basically their first team because they got two quarterbacks that can easily be a starter in this league, that's when the Jaguars fell apart, and it was a third team or a second or third team out there against a caliber starting quarterback that could easily be a starter. That's the problem. That's when they lost the game. It's not that they quit. It's that you got guys going up there that have never played the game before, never been in the NFL, going up against a starting caliber quarterback. I mean, if you heard the pregame show, you heard the Eagles play-by-play man saying Nick Foles is a starting caliber quarterback, and he's the one that led them to the victory. He's the one that came down and gave a 99-yard drive against the Jaguars' third-team defense. But if you look at the first team versus first team, the Jaguars won that battle.
The fourth quarter of the third preseason game, had the majority of those guys will not be on the team come the first week of the season. So you're talking about a game that's, you know, for all intents and purposes, the game was won in that first half. The first half, who won the first half of the game?
The Jaguars easily won.
Jaguars won the first half of the game.
Especially
But to John's point, this was just a half, like we mentioned. They only played a half. But you can only judge them on the body of work in which they put out there at this point in time.
And you didn't have your starting quarterback in
there. We didn't say that these guys were ready to go to the Super Bowl. We said they had a good preseason game tonight. That's exactly, and that's about the extent of it. Now, next week we'll go into what we feel, how things are going to roll for the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing last week. It was, you look at Mark Sanchez, who could be the Jets' starting quarterback. He's the reason that the Jaguars lost that game. They were close in the first half, and then Mark Sanchez kept playing against second and third team guys. So when you have your starter for another team playing against your second and third team, of course they should be dominating. That's what they're paid to do, especially against the second and third team. We're taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Joshua, who wants to talk a little defensive line. Marco's a specialist on the defensive line. Joshua, how you doing today?
Hey, good, Jay. Good, Marco. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
I don't know how I'm going to follow up on that call. But, you know, I was out at Everbank, man. It was a great day, some good tailgating. I went on there, and I saw some great football on the field. Even if it was just the first half or whatever he's talking about, I don't know. But I really felt the Jaguars were turning it around. I mean, I saw Babin just explode off the line. I mean, he looked like a Pro Bowler. I saw people who might, you know, second-string guys or possibly first-string guys like Andre Branch make plays on Mike Vick. You know, those things, you know, they stick out in my mind. I can't remember the Jaguars having this much penetration even in last year's preseason when we were like 3-1, you know?
Even during the regular season, the Jaguars didn't get penetration. That was the biggest thing we always said is they are not getting to the quarterback, and they're getting it to him in the preseason. The first team versus first team, they're getting to the quarterback.
Last year, the Jaguars were dead last in sacks. And already you see an improvement with the guys out there. You figure, I think Babin had a little extra, you know, incentive. It was his former team from last year that he came. He got cut by the Eagles during the course of the season.
He quit on that team.
He had a little something he wanted to show those guys that, here, you talk about I quit. How about take this, take that. But these guys did a real good job in getting pressure, something that's going to be needed to improve this defense for the 2013 season.
Yeah, I just really loved how they just blew up the pocket. You saw Mike Vick on the run. I know he escaped and got around the edge a couple times, but it was just nice to see him on the run and seeing our guys chase him down for once. You know, I was really proud of our boys tonight.
They did a good job.
Good call, Joshua. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Bob in Mandarin. Bob, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you?
Good, man.
Good, man.
You know, it's funny that the first guy who was talking about the lack of production in the last half, after last year and how well we did in the preseason, that was kind of my lesson learned. So, anyway, I'm not sure what was going on with him. But
I think he had a little bit of the sauce
take
tonight.
Take the jack off the dash.
Right, right. I have to say, I disagree with you a little bit. What mattered to me was that we won the first half, which we did. but I have to disagree a little bit with the emphasis on how good Chad played. To me, he played okay, but the reality is it more solidified him as the second string guy to me. I think he's going to make a great backup, but I can't say, even if it wasn't, even if the discussion was still in play as to which quarterback is going to be the first string, tonight I kind of was like, he's not getting rid of the ball quite quick enough. I mean, the numbers looked fairly good, and I guess that's what matters, but I just would, you know, after last week, Blaine looks to be the superior quarterback by far to me.
Yeah, no question that, you know, Blaine is the more superior quarterback at this time, especially in this offense, because you see, this is a completely different type of offense from last week with the Jets than it was, you know, here tonight. You know, you figure the offensive line, the pressure that that you take off of the offensive line by being able to move the pocket when Blaine's in there, you know, it's a lot more things that can be done because of the athleticism that Blaine has that hinders our man Henny, because he's not mobile. He's just strictly drop back. You see, I don't even think they did a rollout pass at any point in time during the game. Maybe
I
one.
I didn't see one.
Yeah, I think maybe one. You didn't see a boot pass the whole, and that's to, you know, that's the reason why was, you know, Henny just he's not athletic enough. So you got a different offense. Things are going to change. But at the same time, in some instances, Henny does do some things better than Gabbert. I think he's actually a better passer. Honestly, not as hard a throw or a better arm, but a better passer. I actually think so.
Yeah, but if you can't get the ball out quick enough, it doesn't necessarily matter, you know.
You're right, because he gets sacked.
If you get hit. The better passer that gets hit is the better passer on the ground.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, but I agree with you, though. I agree.
Yeah, and it was tough last year because we had such a makeshift offensive line that, you know, they didn't even have time to throw the ball. Now you're seeing guys, you know, the offensive line is solidified. There's not as many injuries as you had last year. So you're doing pretty well. And it's, you know, we're not saying Henny's going to sit there and overtake Gabbert just because he's hurt. We're saying that it's good to have a backup there that can at least be productive. I mean, 11 of 18, 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's productive.
I mean,
and that's all you really ask for out of a backup is if your main guy goes down, can you run the offense? And it looks like he can run the offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams that would love to have a Chad Henne sit on the bench in case something went bad with their starting quarterback. Matter of fact, a few of them would like to have Chinny as a starter. So,
I think so. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Steve. Steve, how you doing tonight?
Football gurus, I'm doing great. I am doing great.
Yeah.
And first of all, I'd like to tip my hat to you for not having an aneurysm over John.
Listen, we always get fun calls, and we're gonna battle with them. I'm not gonna lie, we are gonna battle with callers we disagree with, but at the same time, we're gonna let you have your opinions.
You know what? I didn't see anything I really didn't like tonight. There was good stuff going on that football field.
We agree.
And it's better than it's been.
Oh, my gosh, the team speed is outstanding. I thought we were getting some, you know, we're getting pressure on the quarterback, I think because we got better coverage.
Yeah, and it's especially with a secondary that's pretty much entirely new. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the guys from last year are gone or, you know, didn't play much. So when you got that and you have an offense like the Eagles are portrayed to be putting up big points all year and having a lot of plays, to hold them for pretty much three quarters worth of work when their starters were in, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I think the only deal is with the zone coverage. They did have some issues when they went zone. They had left a lot of space for those tight ends. They were wide open. Too many instances. You know, you figure, fortunately, you know, the Eagles are not a real explosive offense just yet as they're trying to learn what they're doing. But when the Jags face team, matter of fact, Kansas City, they have the ability to exploit those big holes, and they have the athletes to go ahead and take it down, take it to the house. So that's something that's got to be cleared up, is playing that zone defense back there. That man-to-man, you know, when they're locked up person-to-person, they do a pretty good job. But the zones, there's too many holes. Making sure where they fit in the zone defense is going to be crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. But, what's the prognosis on Will Rackley? I know I saw one down at first play, I guess.
They didn't give anything for certain.
They didn't hear anything.
Yeah, they didn't give a specific injury.
And they don't have to during the preseason. You're not going to hear a definite, even if he is. I mean, the only way you'd hear definite is if he's out for a long period of time. So that's probably pretty good. But I'm sure Monday or Tuesday, once the team gets together and they do a little extra, just like Blaine Gabbert last week, it's, you know, you didn't hear much. Then when the week came down and all the swellings and everything went down, that's when you start hearing about it. So we'll look for that on Monday or Tuesday. But thanks for the call, and we're taking your calls at 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. I'm not going to lie, I stopped by Gate before the game tonight. I got some stuff to go, and it was beautiful. Give us a call. This is the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. We are checking out the Eagles cheerleaders calendar at the moment.
Step your game up.
And the Jaguars one isn't out yet, but I got to say,
they set the bar real high.
Yeah, they really did.
Baby.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Don't forget, the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated, taking your calls. Let's get right back to the phones because the lines are jammed tonight. That's why I love home games, because people driving home love to call in. And let's start with Gilbert, who is on his way home. Gilbert, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I was at the game. The only thing that I was upset with is I didn't appreciate Todman raising his hands before he crossed the end zone. Yeah, he was almost tackled before he scored his touchdown.
Yeah, how many touchdowns does Todman have? I mean, you know he's going to be celebrating, even if it's a little bit early.
You don't do that, yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
I mean, that's the key. It acts like you've been there before, right?
Yeah, look at from Philadelphia a few years ago. It's his son, Jackson, when he was close to the line, they knocked the ball out. He lost the touchdown.
Yeah.
Actually, he dropped the ball before he crossed. You can't do that.
Yeah, I believe the coaches came to him right afterwards, too. I think they showed a clip right there on television that they had a little conversation. Look here, son. Get the touchdown first.
How many touchdowns did you score in your career, Marco? I know you're on defense. So.
Yeah, but I scored two.
Two? And did you celebrate handily?
Oh, yeah, man. You didn't know what to do. I didn't. You say act like you've been there before. I didn't know what to do.
Exactly. Well, you haven't been there before too much. You got to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing against Todman, but you guys were saying it right before we came on the air. There's a lot of running backs on this team. So Todman is one of those guys that is on the bubble. He had a great game today, but you're pretty much assured that Robinson's going to be on the team. Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be on the team.
And then Forsett's injury.
Probably going to be on the team.
Yeah,
and there's three right there.
Yeah.
So you would think Todman's the next guy in. But
how
many touches is he going to get once all those other guys are healthy and ready to go?
You're right. And I can't say enough about his contribution on those special teams, man. Between him and Blake, those guys really had another good day for Blake on the special teams. At least, they're not a big bunch of
plays. That's your boy, Blake.
I mean, I like Blake. I mean, he plays with some energy. I'm telling you, the special teams set the tone for the game. And if you got a guy full of energy like Antoine Blake that's running down there on that kickoff, makes a big play, all of a sudden, your quarterback trots out with a little extra bounce. I mean, the defense trots out with a little extra bounce. I mean, it just changes the game, man. Special teams does a lot to help the momentum of a game.
Yeah, and you got to give it up to Palmer. I know we've been giving him a lot of flack lately. He wasn't returning kicks, but he didn't muff any either this week. So got to give it off to that guy, at least for no fumbles, no muffs. That's a pretty good day.
Yes, for him.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going back to the phones, let's go to Michael. Michael, thanks for staying up late with us tonight after 12, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm incredible, man. How are you?
Good, man. You're loud, man. You're excited.
Sorry, that's me.
That's
no, I watched the Jags play good football, and that's pretty freaking motivating after last season.
Yeah, I mean, you always got to be pumped. I know they did well last year, wins and losses, but it seems like they're improving every week, so you at least got to give their hats off to them on that.
Absolutely, man. And the main reason I was calling in tonight was kind of like to address, to John's call. Like, first off, it's really, not a good call if you want to compare what happens at the end of a preseason game to how a team performs in the regular season. That said, I kind of see where he's coming. I don't agree with him. I see where he's coming from with talking about how we don't finish, because last season, like, the most frustrating thing as a fan watching a 16-game season was seeing them come out in the third quarter and it looked like we were doing nothing different. And then they were, you know, we'd just fall behind every third quarter every week, and it was demoralizing. So I do feel his pain. I just don't think that you could say that when you have, like, a guy who started NFL games last year leading a hurry-up offense against a third-team defense on one of the youngest rosters in the league.
Exactly.
It's not comparable.
That's what we're saying. You got to look at first-team versus first-team, and I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that the Jaguars won the first-team versus first-team battle tonight.
You got to keep preseason in perspective altogether. They're practice games. And like John did mention, I'll say this point, is that these guys are only playing for a half, so you can only evaluate them for that period of time. And I said last week that, you know, as well as Blaine Gabbert looked in that quarter, we've seen him look good for a quarter or for a half during the course of last season and the seasons prior.
Right.
So the thing that we got, which I hate that he got hurt, was to see him start to make that progression to be able to put together at least a whole half or start the next half and come out still on fire. Because last season he didn't do that consistently at all.
No, definitely not. And, you know, I mean, again, you're talking about the youngest guy to ever start 13 games in his rookie season. You're talking about a guy who had, you know, three head coaches by that point in time and, you know, an offensive staff that got fired after one season. Like, I mean, I'm not an apologist. He certainly needs to play better. You know, that type of play is not going to keep him as a starting quarterback. But, you know, like, it was a rough situation. And it's hard to give grace in that situation. But, you know, when a guy has that sort of arm talent, and if you go back and look at all of his scouting reports where, you know, like all the really detailed ones are saying, not a plug-and-play guy. He needs some work, but he has all the arm talent in the world. You give a guy like that a chance.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can say, yeah, the preseason needs to be kept in perspective. As much as we are praising the team and things of that nature, it's because they're showing some improvement. Now, they've got to transfer this thing to the first week of the season for four quarters, which we hope that it does happen, but we do. I think I can speak for my man Jay Gray that we do like the way that they're progressing, the way that they're preparing. That's what these preseason games are, is preparation.
Week, and I'm, you know, same way as Michael. It's like you can't sit there and say Blaine Gabbert is a great quarterback, but at the same time, you don't want to apologize for the guy, but he has had three offensive coordinators in 3 years. He needs at least some time to develop in a single system. I mean, and all these systems have been completely different, and it seems like he's been okay so far this year under Gus Bradley's system. Now, he didn't play tonight. Chad Henne played well, but you got to give the guy at least an opportunity in a system to get comfortable. I mean, how can you get comfortable after just, you know, a couple games in a different system, then you get hurt and all the stuff that goes on? But 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, taking your calls. I think we're going to go to Bobby. Bobby, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
What's up, Bobby?
I was just calling in. I had a few things. The linebackers covering the tight ends and running backs out the back and all the stuff over the middle, they just look kind of lost to me. I don't know if it's their athleticism or the schemes, but, I mean, Philadelphia just kept running that same little play right over the middle all day.
Almost was like Madden. Tight ends had a good night tonight for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it almost was like Madden football playing online. It was just ridiculous. And then the defensive ends holding the edge on the outside tosses and sweeps, and it was just – it's not good. And that guy who called about Jason Babin, I wouldn't be surprised if man got cut. I don't see anything he does good for this team. I mean, he just tries to speed rush every play, and it just doesn't work. He doesn't – to me, he doesn't apply any pressure. You know, he doesn't do any of that. If I personally would just put Jeremy Mincy – out there and tell him to go get the quarterback out of Leo position, because he actually gets to the quarterback. So, I mean, but all in all, it was a good game. I was kind of surprised that Ace Sanders didn't get to return any kicks or punts. I didn't know if he was hurt. And I'm kind of surprised by Cyprian's kind of like, I know he's a rookie, only played two games, but he seems kind of lost out there a little bit right now, and I'm kind of surprised about all that. And I was just going to get y'all opinion on some of that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, you got a lot of stuff there to go over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll say with the linebackers, you know, when you have that read option offense, that holds your linebackers a little bit. You know, so you figure when Vic fakes like he's going to do something with the back and pulls it out for a pass, that holds your linebackers for a minute. And, but at the same time, I think there is a little athleticism that's deficient at the linebacker position. And you figure Russell Allen, You know, he's not the best and most fleet of foot linebacker. We I'll also say the same about Posluszny. He's an inside
he's
linebacker.
He's a run stopper.
He's not a run stopper.
Not a pass cover.
Yeah,
really,
and it seems as though they always went to the side of Allen as opposed to Hayes, who's probably the most athletic out of the three linebackers. But then at the same time, there was some issues in that zone defense. They were able to get right there in that soft spot, which was a big soft spot between the linebacker and the safety, where it was just too much space. I mean, to your point about Cyprian, a lot of times it seemed like he was in that area. He doesn't seem real comfortable. He's a hitter. I don't know so much about his coverage skills, so that's something that we'll have to see. I think he should get a lot of time next week, because he needs a lot of reps.
You don't see a lot of starters playing in that fourth game, but he's a guy that's been hurt throughout the year, only been playing two games, and he's looked not good, especially for the way they were, you know, talking him up. Like, he's going to be a great guy. He needs to come in because he doesn't look good. And, you know, we'll be honest with it. He is not looking like the player that they said he was going to be. Now, whether that's because he was injured and didn't get the reps, or whether that's he just doesn't understand the defense quite yet, or maybe he's not as good as we thought, that's something we got to find out, and I'm sure we'll find it out in the next couple weeks. Hopefully, he gets it cleared up before the games start meaning something.
Mm-hmm.
But
it didn't, and I don't think there was a report that Ace Sanders was hurt. And I'm with you. I don't understand why you not allow a rookie to continue to get some reps. I mean, for me personally, this is a time for the rookies to develop in the games. To not have Ace, I know he's going to be the punt returner, even though he's. Because you got, you know, to say that he's going to spend a lot of time at wide receiver and not return punts, you got too many superstar athletes right now that do both. You had, like, Peterson with the Cardinals. He plays defensive back every down. Then when it's time to catch punts, guess what? He's back there to catch the punts.
And that's the other thing we got to look at, too. We always say it's preseason. You're not necessarily playing a game like you would in the regular season. Maybe they've seen all they're going to see from Ace Sanders. Maybe they know he's the guy, but we want to give some of these other guys a look.
He's still a rookie. He still needs to get the reps at the game speed to be prepared for week one. I mean, don't even return the ball. Just get back there, catch it at the full speed with the lights on, the speed of these guys coming down. Just fair catch it every time. I think you still need to get those reps to keep on preparing. I mean, it's that fine line in the preseason of trying to stay healthy, but also preparing yourself for the season.
Yeah, you want to prepare, but at the same time, you don't want to get guys hurt. And maybe if you already know that he's going to be the guy, you basically know Ace Sanders is making the team. Maybe some of these other guys, they want to give a look. Like Shipley, he's not a guarantee to make the team. Ebert's not a guarantee to make the team. Both those guys were returning punts today. Denard Robinson returned some kickoff. Grimes returned some kickoff. So you can't necessarily look at it like this is what's going to happen in the game. Maybe they just want to give some of these guys a look, saying, should we keep these guys that are bubbles that aren't going to be a normal, you know, every down type of receiver and every down type of running back? They just want to kind of look at it and see, are they going to contribute on special teams? Do we have a chance? Maybe that's what they're doing. We don't know. You never know what's in Gus Bradley's head.
But the young guys, these rookies, I really think that, you know, they just don't have enough experience out there. You got to get them. These reps are vital. So.
Yep. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking a quick break. We got lots of time left, so give us a call. We got the phone lines jacked up on this late night. Love being up late on a Saturday night, hanging out, talking Jaguars football. Don't forget, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We'll be right back here with the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Gotta love the Scoreboard Show, and there's only one reason why, because you're the star. Me and Marco, we just take a back seat to you guys.
Hanging out with y'all.
We just want to hear what you have to say at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Don't forget, the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple, whiskey started, maple finished. I keep telling Joe, who's sitting with us here, executive producer, we need some Crown Royal in here, man. We need
the purple
samples.
Bag.
They're sponsoring us. Let's get, especially on a late night Saturday night, man. That's what we got to do.
What you do with Coke or Coke or Sprite or ginger ale? What you chase with?
I'm hardcore. I'm doing it straight. Let's get back to the phones because they are jacked tonight. Let's start with Greg on the west side, who's actually on his way home. Love when guys are calling on their way home. Greg, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, you good, Greg?
Hey, man. So, look, now I got to tell you, I like the way the defense is going tonight. And I love the intensity, the, you know, the whole Gavin was just flying everywhere. Paz was looking to hurt somebody. I mean, the one thing you can tell the team was much more fired up and intense. We forgot to say our punter actually got a face mask call. That's hilarious. And so that's when you know
you're nothing's better than a punter getting a penalty for being aggressive. I love it.
Exactly, man. I gotta tell you one thing I'm sad that disappointed the Jags did was Daryl Smith, man. I was watching him last night on the on performance up there in Baltimore, and it is really it's too bad we let him go because he is performing like a beast this year. He had two solo sacks last night for the Ravens, and he's basically taking over the shoes of Ray Lewis. And I'm just like putting him and Paz together on that linebacking core. They would be such a freaking force if they did that. I don't know why they let him.
You know, I agree with you 100%. The only reason I could think is if he was asking too much money, because you look last year, he was hurt for the most of the year, and the Jaguars' defense suffered. When he came back, the defense started to come together. And, I mean, he's a leader on defense. You got to love him being in there.
He's a playmaker.
He's still got wheels, man.
He's a playmaker.
God, great night.
You too, man. I mean, yeah, I wanted him to stick around. I think a lot of guys did. But that's the thing. You never know what's going on behind the scenes in negotiations. Maybe he's asking for too much money. You know, maybe the Jags didn't want to pay. I mean, as good as players are, you also got to look at a salary cap. You know, it's not like baseball where you got the Yankees or the Red Sox and they're just paying out the you-know-what for every player that they got. You can't do that in the NFL. So, you know, you got to look. You got to play a little money ball here. You got to go with a guy that maybe you want to make some extra cash. Maybe you want to get a guy that's making a little less that can give you a little bit less. But, hey, you got to play the money game.
Well, by upgrading the defensive line is going to make a significant difference to kind of take care of some of those big plays that you'll be missing, because you figure Daryl was getting you sacks. He was getting you tackles for losses. He was getting you interceptions. He was doing a lot of different things. So you bring in these rookies in the secondary, you know, to kind of cover that, the coverage aspect. You got, like I said, bringing in some more guys on defensive line to take care of those deals. Those big plays now have to come by committee as opposed to just one guy doing it all. So
yeah, he was talking about a little punting, and I got to give a shout out to my man Parrish. I mean, he's not making the team. when you take a punter in the third round, you know the second string punter is not making the team. Dude went to my alma mater.
Baby.
And this is D2 school we're talking about here, but great punt. Getting it inside the 1 yard line tonight.
Well, he didn't help himself with the face mask, though. I mean, really?
You know what? I don't care about the face mask because that shows you're being aggressive. If you're a punter and you have to make a tackle, your job is to get a guy down by any means necessary. That means if you're grabbing face masks, if you're kicking him in the groin, it doesn't matter. You got to get him down to prevent the touchdown because you are last line of defense. If you just say, you know what, I'm going to tackle him, not make a penalty, and he gets by you, it's a touchdown. I would go any day of the week having a punter get a face mask penalty or an unnecessary roughness penalty if it prevents a touchdown.
He's not going to be on the team.
He's not, but I'm just saying.
He's going to get cut.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351, taking your calls.
Punters, man. Really?
You got to love the punters. I mean, let's go to punters to Aaron on the west side and talk about uniforms. We go from punters to uniforms. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. What's up with you?
Chilling.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad I'm driving home with an automatic, because if I was driving my car, it'd be a little hard.
Ooh.
But it's vicious. Talking on the phone, you know.
Be careful. Buckled up.
We never want anybody to talk on the phone. We want them on the speakerphone, because I think it's illegal to be on cell phones now. So we'll just assume you're on speaker, and thank you for driving safely.
Bluetooth, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just wanted to say, y'all have touched on, like, especially other callers, y'all have touched on great points about, you know, the football aspect of the game. I just wanted to point out how sharp our jerseys look.
You're in the minority. I'm not saying from Jaguars fans minority. Did you see the latest ESPN article that came out this week? That's why I'm glad you called in. They did. Did you see? You know what I'm talking about?
I did, and I am just appalled. I have no idea how he thinks that the Jaguars have the worst-looking jerseys.
In case anybody missed it, we'll do a little recap. ESPN, basically what they did is all the four major sports, baseball, hockey, football, and basketball, they rated every single uniform of every single team, and there's 122 of them. Dead last, the Jaguars uniform.
Wow.
And they're talking about the new uniforms, not the old ones. They were rated 122 out of 122 in all the four major sports. And I got to disagree. I really like the new uniforms, too. And there's a lot of teams.
Put them at the worst.
Number one was St. Louis Cardinals. They were the number one overall uniform. And I mean, if you got a bird on a bat, kind of cheesy, man. I'm just saying.
I agree.
But yeah, I mean, they're definitely not the worst. I like them too. I like the helmets. I like the new look. I like everything about them. Even if you're not a fan, you got to put them ahead of some of these. I mean,
yeah, I don't know about that. I want to see what the new team, and they changed the name to the Pelicans now.
New Orleans
Pelicans. What are they?
Nothing says hardcore team like the Pelicans.
What are they going to look like? What are those uniforms going to look like?
Hey, Aaron, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe 122 out of 122. That's, I don't agree at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're the worst, nah.
But they even had the Cleveland Cavaliers low, too. I like their uniform. If I had to rate the worst uniform in the NFL, I'm going to Cleveland Browns. I know there's history there, but, I mean, come on. It's orange pretty, and brown. Really, there's nothing special about them.
And they have just one person's opinion? It's got to be just one person's opinion.
I'm not sure if it's one person or they took a survey, but I'm pretty sure it's just one person's survey.
Yeah, well, they don't know what the heck you're talking about.
And that's the, I mean, when you look at Cleveland's uniforms, I know there's history there, but the two worst colors, I think, in the history of colors, orange and brown, and you put them together.
I mean, you're going to have some Cleveland. You better watch out when you walk out this door. Some Cleveland Brown fans here.
Listen, I don't care about the dog pound. I'm from Philly, and we know how to throw down. You've been in Philly. You know we know how to throw down out there, man.
Start throwing bones at you, buddy.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going back to the Metro PCS call-in line with Steve from Ponte Vedra. Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Do you agree Cleveland has the worst uniform in the NFL?
Yeah, or the Bengals.
But at least the Bengals have some stripes to it. They have something fun that goes along with it. I mean, just orange and brown. Plain.
Yeah, man. I agree. I kind of like our uniforms. They're not the worst. Not the best, but they're not the worst.
Not the worst.
But listen, I want to comment and get your feedback on Przinski. I've never been a big fan of his, but I thought he had a good preseason at safety, and I thought he looked great tonight on special teams.
That's what you got to do, man. You got to play special teams. If you're not going to be necessarily a starter, you got to make your niche somewhere. And when you're good on special teams, you're pretty much golden in the league.
Yeah, and you look at the safety play right now, especially with the way Cyprian as a rookie is coming in. Przinski may be called upon because you want to win. You want to win, and if the rookie that can't get a hold of what's going on, grasp what's going on, stop looking like he's in space. I mean, you got to put Przinski out there. I think he did do a pretty good job here in the training camp, especially tackling. I think he's a pretty good tackler. Some may differ, but I think he's a good tackler. What you think?
All right, thanks, guys.
You're welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Steve. Short and to the point. I mean, that's what we like. But
exactly. What
I mean,
want.
The way Cyprian's playing, you know, he's making the team. You know, they want him to be the future. They wouldn't have drafted him so high.
Yeah.
That's where they want him. That's who he's going to be. But if he can't come in and play right away, you need somebody else. And when you get rid of basically your entire secondary in the offseason, you got to have somebody come in. So as long as he's playing well, hey, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I like Przinski.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Got to take a quick break. One segment left, correct? Yeah. I know what I'm doing here. One segment left here. We're still taking your calls right back here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Yeah, welcome back to the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Last segment, going back to the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's start with Jimmy on his way home. Jimmy, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing good, you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
What up, man?
Hey, man, I've got a few questions about playing time and all. It seems like what you had said was their first-string Vic and the Eagles had played their first-string against our second-third after the half. I was curious on why that is and why we're not playing our first-string players into, say, the third or fourth quarter. You hear Sanchez going down in the fourth and Vic playing almost to the end of the third quarter, maybe till the end. But just wondering why Jones-Drew only played one quarter when I heard his health is getting it's almost perfect from what I gather. Yeah, are they still worried about him maybe going down?
No, I mean, every coach is different. I mean, you look at Green Bay playing last night. Aaron Rodgers only played a series or two, and usually the third game's when the starters play the most. I think a lot of coaches will sit there and say, when you know what you have at a certain position, you want to look at some other guys. Or you just want to say maybe you don't want him to get hurt. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew hasn't played a regular season game since October of last year. You know what you're getting out of him. You know that even though the Jaguars haven't had the best offense in the league the past couple years, Maurice Jones-Drew gets his yards when he's healthy. You know what you have there. So what's the point of even playing him? The only bad things can happen the more he plays. He knows how to play. He knows what happens when he gets in there. So the only thing that can really happen is he gets hurt.
Yeah, for Maurice, his position is very demanding. When the season starts, those 25 carries a game, they're going to take a toll. So you don't want to do it right now. And then you got to look at also the injuries that are going around the team. You got Mercedes on the sideline today. You had Rackley go down. Joko is just coming back. You don't want to have a bunch of guys sitting. So you got to be real careful. Like I mentioned, it's a fine line between preparing the team and keeping the team healthy in the preseason, and it's, you know, those coaches that are able to manage that well, they get off to a good start in the first part of the season.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, did I misunderstand you a little bit? Did you say that our starters probably wouldn't be playing much at all next game?
Usually that's the way it works. I mean, the fourth game, usually your starters are pretty much done. Maybe they play another series or two. I mean, historically, for most coaches, that's how it goes. Now, you don't know how Gus Bradley is going to do it because he's never been a head coach before. Maybe he wants to see some of his starters. I mean, obviously, Blaine Gabbert's not going to be in there. Maurice Jones-Drew didn't play much tonight, so he's probably not going to be in there. But maybe Cecil Shorts gets a little extra action because he was hurt. Maybe Joko gets a little extra action because he was hurt. It's different with every coach, but historically, the fourth game, the starters barely play at all.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems to me like you'd want to keep them in longer and get them ready for that full game swing when it's time to play the full season.
Try
to get most of them in there as long as you can to get ready for that first game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm the first person to say I don't know that much about football when it comes to coaching and strategies. Like most of us, you know, we're analysts. We go by what we know. Coaches got a totally different aspect in their head, and for who knows how long, since they went to four preseason games, all the coaches do the same thing. They don't play their starters in the fourth game, whether it's because they just want to give the guys another look before their cuts come in, or, you know, they don't want to get their starters hurt. That's just the way it goes down.
Yeah, because, and another thing is too, you know, this is the game historically that has been the one that you kind of use to get yourself ready for the season, and you have a lot of nicks during the training camp, you know. Well, at least years past, when the training camps were maybe a little bit more physical, you have more padded practices. Guys acquire a bunch of little knick-knack type of injuries that you give them a full 2 weeks to recover, so at least you can go into the season a lot more, you know, closer to 100% than you would if you'd have, you know, re-injured some of these things that you may have going towards the end of the training camp. So that last week is for everyone that's going to be playing a lot to heal up and be as close to 100% as possible to start the season.
Yeah, and that's another good thing. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that teams were playing Friday and Saturday nights on the last weekend of the preseason. Now everybody plays Thursday to give everybody that extra couple days rest. That's a new thing. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that people were playing Fridays and were playing Saturdays. Now no one plays beyond Thursday because it's like a mini bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way it rolls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's get to Ryan on the call-in line, the Metro PCS call-in line. Ryan, how you doing tonight? You go to the game tonight, Ryan?
Of course, gentlemen. Hi, good evening. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
We're striving. It's late, but you know what? We're just going to keep it going.
Nice. Well, my question is for both of y'all. It's really, who have you been most impressed with during training camp, and who have you been least impressed with during training camp?
Let's go with Marco first. We'll let you tackle this one first.
Well, you know, he made a play. I'm going to go with the worst first. He made a play tonight, but hasn't done much all preseason, which I, you know, for me, a young player, you got to go ahead and get it turned on. That's Branch. You know, I'm real, you know, I hone in on those defensive linemen. And, you know, he just hasn't progressed as I thought he would coming into his second season. You know, and I think he hasn't had an outstanding training camp where, you know, but they're still, obviously, he's young, so they see a little bit more in him. And then, as far as the best training camp, I'm going to have to say A. Sanders. I mean, you know, he was a fourth-round draft pick. I mean, they knew he could return kicks, but you know, who knew that he would be able to, you know, handle the load as a wide receiver and make some plays and you know, and play tough, play big. Yeah. You figure he's making some nice catches here in the preseason.
You know, I'm right there with you with the best. I got to go with A. Sanders because, you know, like we said, tonight it was a trade with the Eagles that got the Jaguars A. Sanders. They moved back a little bit. They were hoping to get either A. Sanders or Denard Robinson. Ended up getting them both. He's been, I think, the standout of all camp. And the worst, it's easy for me, a guy that I don't even know why he's still here, Tobias Palmer.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on. Two games in a row where he muffs punts. They didn't even let him return punts or kickoffs tonight. That's the only reason he probably didn't have a muff tonight.
Well, yeah.
He has got to be the worst in my aspect. I mean, granted, the guy probably wasn't making the team anyway, but still, he's definitely the worst guy defense, that's been around.
He wasn't. He never returned punts before. That was new.
It
was experimenting. Yeah, it's a difficult deal to return those punts, man. That punt it's a tough deal.
They trusted him enough to what they saw in training camp to at least put him out there. They had to at least give him some idea that it's like, all right, you can kind of do this because you're out there playing it in a game. And literally, 2 for 2. It muffed punts. 2 for 2.
He never did it before.
He should have been... Please. You know what? I've never kicked a field goal before, but I get, you know, the guy, who was the guy that was on the team the first week that missed the field goal? You don't even know him because he's gone. One mistake and he's gone. How is this guy still on? I guarantee he's cut this week. I guarantee he's gone this week. No offense to you, man. I'm sorry, Tobias, but
holla.
Two muffs in 2 weeks, and the only reason you didn't muff this week is because you weren't playing a punt return. Sorry. That's my word.
Yeah, let's just see Andre be able to make it around the corner. It just seemed to, you know, continually from last week into this week, he, you know, speed rush, but he just couldn't bend, I guess, is the terminology around it, you know? Yeah. Marco, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you're right. He plays a little stiff, you know, and plays high. And there's some things. I'm not sure what he did in the offseason. You know, the offseason is extremely important to sometimes get away and work with someone, not with your coach, but find – you know, someone that worked that's had success as a pass rusher. There's plenty of them. You know, find one of these guys like a Clay Matthews or a J.J. Watt. These guys getting 20 sacks. Go out and – I don't know if you want to hang out with Von Miller, but go hang out with a guy out in Dallas.
I'd hang out with Von Miller, but that's a different story. I don't got to worry about getting suspended from the NFL.
You know, but you gotta search out to find someone that can help you get your game together. If you're not working on your craft, you're not going to get any better. And I don't know what he did in the offseason, but it's whatever it was, it didn't work.
You think they could stunt Andre through the middle and kind of get him just where he's just bending around the corner unprotected, you know, up the middle? Is that a possibility?
Is he big enough, do you think, Marco?
Well, you know, if you watch the sack that he got was basically on a twist where he came inside in the middle. He's definitely not stout enough to come in there and rush as a tackler.
Yeah, sit there as a lineman and rush.
He is very athletic, and I think that, you know, the sack that he got in the game, you know, was a perfect guy. You know, it's showing showing his athleticism by being able to stunt.
Stunts are a lot
inside.
Different than just lining up and bull rushing in the middle.
Yeah,
I mean, you
got
to be
that.
A big dude to do that. You see a lot of the guys, you know, 350, they're bull rushing in. I don't think he's that big.
Mincy now, you know, you have to say Mincy's had a really good camp too. I mean, you figure he's answered the bell. He's not a starter right now. You know, you have Alualo, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Every time he's gotten in the game, he's created. If he didn't make the play, he was very disruptive, and he's been that way all during the course of training
camp. And sometimes
that's
all that matters. You don't necessarily have to get to the quarterback, but as long as you're making yourself a nuisance to the offensive line or the quarterback, then you're doing your job. Yeah, not all about sacks.
Yeah, Mincy's, and he's been doing that consistently all preseason.
And you gotta admit, at least Mincy has the best, you know, post sack dance at this point.
Yeah, I wonder if he actually said "rawr" when he puts his hands up.
Yeah, right.
Oh. So, hey man, thanks for the call. 355 NFL 1, 355-6351. Gotta take a quick break. Back right after this. Don't forget the injury reports tonight are presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. We're back right after this quick break here on Jaguars Radio. All right, last segment of the Scoreboard Show. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Got to give you a little background info. Now, we got Linda screening calls, and we all love Linda, but she wants to go home. She didn't want to take this call, but because we love Karen so much and love that she listens all the way for her drive home, we had to take her call. Karen, you should be thanking us for getting you on the air, even though Linda didn't want you on. That's okay. Karen, you there?
Shame on Linda. Shame on Linda. No, she was nice to me. She was nice. She just said I had to keep it quick.
Yeah, she wants that because she wants to go home. We're here to take your call because you know what? You like us. And anybody that likes us, we put on longer.
We're here for the people. I do like you. I love the new show. Marco, I missed you again. I look for you. Kieran Fine, I look for you every game, and they won't put you out where I can say hi to you and see your wonderful smile.
Karen, I gotta say, you're getting Marco in trouble. He's married. He's going to get in trouble when he goes home. I'm telling
Karen,
you.
Karen, I need you.
Oh, I'm married, too. I'm a grandmother. That's a... Anyway, I wanted to thank you. We drive a long way. We've been coming here for 12 years. We make this drive to Ocala, 100 miles. So, but your new show's awesome. Love listening to you. It's lively. It's good. John at the very beginning was very entertaining. I think people need to remember it's preseason. It's preseason. It's preseason.
Exactly. So, everything's right. Got to be taken.
You understand.
But I do thank you. Your new show is really good, for especially this time of night. You guys are lively.
Hey, listen, Karen, what you got to do is you got to call WOKV tomorrow and ask for Mike Dorward and tell him how good we do.
And tell him you want Marco Coleman outside.
Monday, yeah, you got to give a call.
I did want Marco back outside. It was, you know, we always came around the corner in Gate 1. It's like, hey,
yeah,
anyway.
You know, hey,
so we got to
work
you,
that out. Oh, miss you too, Karen. Miss you too, lady.
Thanks for the call, Karen.
Bye, Karen. You guys be safe.
Okay, we will. You guys have a good night.
You too. I love when Karen calls in.
Karen is nice.
I mean, you know, anybody that's in radio always has an ego, so it's nice to get the ego boost.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
Exactly. But call in Monday. His name is Mike Dorward. He's the one that makes sure that we stay on the air. So you got to call
us from
him
being outside
and tell us that you want us outside. Or, you know, I would go outside. I'd go out to a bar. We could do the show from a bar, don't you think? Especially on like a Saturday night, late night. We've already gone way later than we were supposed to. Linda wants to go home. I think our executive producer, Joe, wants to go home. He doesn't look too happy right now. Ed, who's running the show, wants to go home. It's Saturday night. Maybe they don't want to go home, but they can't stay here. That's the deal. Thanks for listening. Hey, everybody, make sure you listen in and call in next week. It's going to be a Thursday night show, Thirsty Thursday, but it's an away game. It's going to be rough. We got 2 minutes to one. We probably should stay on till one, but you know what? Ed's already played the music, so we gotta go, man. I got half an hour to get to the bar and get one drink before I gotta
before
go.
It's over.
Thanks everybody for listening and calling, and we'll be back next week with the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.